Text line 69306. I can't count how many times, Fanning, you said I'm scared as hell about this game. So Fanning was telling the guys about how some of you were being very mean to him. Barber was giving him some grief. Because last week, I'm telling you, you would have thought that the Chiefs were playing the 1972 Dolphins. I thought last week that the 07 Patriots were rolling into town. I'm telling you, he was... Marlon Mack was Eric Dickerson. He was Emmitt Smith. He was Barry Sanders rolled into one individual. I don't know what Fanning was talking about last week. I was trying to write him, but he was going another way. So, our guy Nick the Quick Price, he has put together this montage.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Thought we were tight, man.
This is some of the things that Brad Fanning
It could have
was
been
saying.
So much worse, and Brad.
Sure could have been.
I mean, we could have hit you all day with it. I told him to spare you for 30, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Here's the montage.
I am fearful of this deal. You got the 31st ranked defense in the NFL against a team that can run the football with Marlon Mack, who looked like freaking Eric Dickerson. I'm like, he's going to run for 250 on the Chiefs. And I do trust Sutton and the defense to go lose it. I think the Colts are going to be able to move the football on the Chiefs because everybody moves the football on the Chiefs. And they're going to be able to score against the Chiefs because everybody but the Raiders scores against the Chiefs.
Everybody but the Raiders and the Indianapolis Colts score on the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me just, can I read some stats to you guys? I know that you guys are
give me some
favorable of stats. Remember you said that Marlon Mack might rush for, what, 250, 350 on the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's what I said.
He had 9 carries for 46 yards.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, MVP Andrew Luck. I remember Colin Cowherd was trying to tell me he was better than Patrick Mahomes. Had 203 yards passing and one garbage time touchdown to T.Y. Hilton that doesn't really matter, that only matters for the over-under. Andrew Luck and the Colts and that great offensive line. 0-for-9 on third down. You couldn't get one single third down conversion. Fanning, I'm telling you, you got to apologize to the listeners for last week. You got to apologize.
I'm not saying, listen, I spoke the truth, man. I didn't expect this defense to come out here and look like that. I'm glad they did, though.
You spoke the truth. You, that was not the truth. Mack is not Eric Dickerson.
I didn't hear any joking.
I was joking.
No, that wasn't. No, I heard.
I was joking that, of course, Marlon Mack and Eric Dickerson. Come on now. But I'm just saying.
You said he was going to run for 250.
250.
And possibly 350.
You said he was going to run for, you said he was going for 250, and he didn't run for 50. He didn't run for 100.
Yeah.
He didn't run for 50. He ran for 46 yards.
I mean, the Chiefs came out and did exactly what they needed to do to win the game. Make the Colts chase.
Yeah.
So they didn't have the Colts never had a chance even to get the running game going because they were so far behind right out of the gate. I said a lot of things that were true too. So the Chiefs are going to score 31. I did.
Sean's trying to figure out what that was.
I said if they got 4 stops in this game, they're going to win. They got 4 stops at a quarter and a half. I said there's a lot of stuff that I said that came true. I didn't. You cannot tell me that you expected the Chiefs defense to come out and only allow 6 points. I mean, come on now. Nobody in their right mind driving out there in these unplowed streets in Missouri can say that you expected the Chiefs to only give up 6 points.
It wasn't about what people expected. It was the amount of stress that I felt from you.
Oh, my God,
it was a lot.
Oh, like
I didn't feel good at all, man.
Then I would say 2 minutes in, you realize that this was the team you were worried about. Like, I realized very early in that game, like, the Colts ain't that good. I was telling you all week they wasn't that good.
I'm glad I was wrong about it, man. I'm glad.
But I want to play this for you guys. I told Fanning to compile because the text line was on his head all week. I'm talking Randy Savage from the top rope, elbow drop.
So security in my house.
Some of the listeners were not very happy, and I told them to compile some of their meanest tweets. Fanning, read some of their tweets.
Okay. Well, I tweeted this earlier in the game. I said in the fourth quarter, I said we're 10:42 away from the first ever AFC title game at Arrowhead. And at must be a savage tweeted me, and you dogged the Chiefs the entire week. You can't celebrate with us.
That's how Barber feels.
Yeah. This is from Mr. Proctober. At Brad Fanning Show. You're going to need to atone on Monday.
Mm.
Yeah, these are easy ones.
I don't hear a lot of atoning right now.
Mm-mm.
I hear a lot of, I was right about the game.
I was right, and I'm a huge fan.
I was right for a few things.
I was right that they was going to score 31 points.
At 71, J-Rob said,
I was right it was going to be cold.
Tell your son to use earmuffs on this one, Joe. At 71, J-Rob said, shut up, word that rhymes with witch.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah. Is that your favorite?
I mean, so far, it is.
I think Sean might have sent that one.
I think so, too.
Okay, I tweeted some jerk in the upper deck just launched a snowball and hit a cheerleader in the face on the field. Super classy.
Somebody probably wanted to hit you with the snowball.
Oh, that was the guy that said, yeah, somebody. That's the guy that called me a little midget. So, Meister Amon, it's at AymanWakas, Amon Wakas, whatever. He goes, he tweeted me this. He goes, some jerk was on the radio all week saying how bad this defense is and was made to look like a buffoon who doesn't know what he's talking about. And then, of course, the mother of all of them.
The mother.
It's come from, this came out of a lady's mouth.
Yes.
At Pigskin and Petties.
I mean, she's probably a good Christian woman, but you pushed her over the edge with your constant negativity.
She's the football chick on Twitter. She made one of those big graphics, man. She didn't tweet this. You know those big graphics, like red background, giant white letters? She tweeted this. A special blank you to 610 Sports Radio's Brad Fanning and his New Balance sneakers. She crossed the line talking about my footwear. I wear Skechers. They're really comfortable. And I got called a little midget, too.
Oh.
And that was some of the mean tweets that people were sending.
Those are just some of them.
No, that was good though, man.
What's good about that? That was mean.
No, man. When you join whatever Kyle Brand, you join the national media. I think
she did the same thing for Kyle Brand on NFL Network. I'm in big company.
Dungy and Harrison. Yeah. Right. They showing all their Colts and then how they you know this thing is gonna be a you know this Colts team is this and this and they all had to eat crow afterwards. Yeah, you know what? They had to get on social media. I think this Kansas City team is something to be reckoned with now. Like, now we've seen it in person. Man, you've seen the same tape I've seen week in and week out.
Yeah, I saw the Charger game.
That same offense.
Gave up 14 points in the final right? 4 minutes.
This is the same stuff you were doing last week.
It's been one offense for 17 weeks of the season so far, or 17, however many weeks, that's consistently up in the 26s to 45s to whatever. That always puts up points. And then there's one team that gets hot late. They're the hottest. I kept hearing that everywhere I was going. This is the hottest team. And how can you be hot playing against the Giants? Like, that ain't hot. Just because you beat the Giants by 2 points, you sneak out of a game with the Jets, or you beat a Houston team that everybody already know is kind of in a division that's a little bit suspect anyway. You can't come out of an AFC South and consider yourself hot. By no means necessary.
Here's from the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Leave Fanning alone. Carrington said the Cowboys were locked to go to the Super Bowl.
I never called them a lock. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I never said the Cowboys were a lock to go to the Super Bowl. I never said. I mean, I can admit that I was wrong about the Dallas Cowboys.
I picked the Cowboys.
I will very happily fall on that sword. I know one thing. I was never frightened about the Indianapolis Colts at any point. I kept telling you all week they weren't that good. I kept telling you that I didn't think they had high-end talent. So don't try to lump me in with you, Mr. Negative Man.
Hey, Nick, we got to see if Barber just texted this in, man, from the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Brad, you can't play both sides of the fence, you fake Chiefs fan. You're either with us or against us. Barber, stop texting in right now.
Choose your
side,
though.
That had to be you.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, everybody want to know, what side are you really on?
I'm on the Chiefs side, man.
It just never sounded like it all year long.
Because I was telling you the truth about how I was concerned about the defense going into the playoffs, that I had a hard time stopping people.
You kept talking about yardage, and we kept trying to tell you, yardage don't win ball games.
I was not on the yardage thing. I was on the point thing with you. What I was on, because I'm with you on it. Like, I've learned from you, Sean Barber, Barbershop, Sean Stradamus. You said it's about points. And so I went back and I looked against playoff teams what the Chiefs had done over the course of the regular season.
He calls it all your aliases right there.
They were giving up 36 a game against playoff teams. Well, I did not feel good about it.
Didn't feel good about it.
Colts only scored 13 in this and they were a playoff team. Let me ask you guys this question about Bob Sutton because you think that they were potentially working on something. I'm really, really surprised at how dominant they were defensively. I said to start the show, I think you can argue that their defense played better than their offense. I thought that their defense came out and set the tempo. Indianapolis in their first 9 plays had 12 yards. They got 3 consecutive 3 and outs, and I think the crowd fed off of it. The offense fed off it. Everybody kind of fed off how impressive their defense was. Do you guys give any credit, I think, to this? They were working on something, and they had some greater plan the second half of the season.
Man, I give credit to the Sea of Red, man. The way that the crowd showed up. They showed up and showed out. They were loud. They were early. You know, we made a little joke about how the, you know when you go out there as the opponent, the opposing team, you're into a stadium and you're out there stretching. You look around, you don't see anybody. You don't feel like, all right, this venue gonna be okay. You know, I'm gonna be okay here. I don't have to worry about no noise and stuff. I'm wondering what that 142.2 decibel really sound like. You know, I ain't worried about no Arrowhead, but that wasn't the case. It was early and often, and that crowd was roaring all game long.
That was loud.
So I think Andy even said in the post game, he gave shout out to Arrowhead Stadium, to the fan base. He appreciated how loud and rowdy they was. Void the snowball. But he appreciated they were involved in the game. It was, you could tell it was definitely a 12th, 13th, 14th person on the field when Andrew Luck was looking for somewhere to deposit that ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, besides the fans going out there and being the loudest fans in the country, you had the defense really put together just a great game. And you do have to give Bob Sutton his credit. It took them a while to find their rhythm, to find a set of plays that they feel like they have the right guys on defense to play, right? And I felt like, you know, with them giving those younger cornerbacks that experience going towards, you know, later in the season.
That's a brilliant move.
Yeah. It's a great move. I mean, you know, a lot of people was questioning it. And right now it's showing that these guys can hold up in coverage. So that's a plus. Yeah. Now we get a chance to do a little bit more up front. We can twist. We run a couple more blitzes. We can
do all that stuff because you can cover long.
Yeah, because you can cover long. We have guys in the back end that can cover, that can play that sticky man that you need.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we're able to do some things with our front seven. And, I mean, they pretty much put a great game plan together, and they executed very well.
Spoiler alert. I'm so excited about this upcoming game because I know Tom Brady wants to play the underdog, and they want to play like, you know, woe is me. We're going to lick our wounds.
I mean, they actually are the underdog. We're three-point dogs.
We're going to come into – well, you know how Vegas is, man, sure. Right? A field goal goes to the home team. So they're basically saying both teams are equal, right? Yeah. That's what Vegas is saying. Yeah. I think that's a fair thing, but – to watch our guys up front, our D-line, get after New England's offensive line with a quarterback that you know can't run for first downs, I think that's going to be I think you're going to see a whole different savage type of D-line coming in after Tom Brady. Because with Andrew Luck, you always kind of still had to worry about maintaining certain rush lanes because he still is athletic enough to kind of scamper and make you pay a little bit if you just totally ignore him. But Tom Brady can't move nowhere. He can't go nowhere. You know he's going to be in that pocket. And that's a perfect target for everybody. Got one point of emphasis, stop the run, rip the head off the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You take the quarterback down and the body will die. He's the head of the Patriots game. You take him out and the body will die.
I'm also really curious to go along with that is if the Chiefs can stop the run, which is a big if still. Like, I'm not going off the one game if they can stop the run. Brady in the cold on the road? Sounds terrible. Like, we've seen Brady's arm strength over the last couple of years get worse and worse and worse every single year. I don't know if Brady is a guy that can beat you 10, 15 yards down the field. It's all dink and dunk at this point. And with no Gronk, essentially. Gronk's done. I love Rob Gronkowski. He's done. He's done. I just don't know how the Patriots can still move the ball effectively if this defense can give you 40% of last week.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's going to be up to the Chiefs' defense to go out there and play. It's not going to be what, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots can do. It's what the Chiefs are going to do to keep them off the field. So if you are able to stop the run, then you got to pressure Tom Brady. You can't just sit back and just zone coverage all day because he's going to pick that apart, especially if you have time. You can't just play man all day either because you're going to be running your corners all across the field. So you got to find that perfect mix where you're able to get that pressure and not just any type of pressure. You need pressure right up the middle. Tom Brady can't run. You know, he's not one of those scrambling quarterbacks. So you don't mind him getting outside. We can have a guy go and chase him down.
Sure.
But you want to get him off that mark. Once he's sitting still and he's reading your defense, he can pick you apart. So if you're able to, you know, get some pressure up the middle, get him off his mark, get him moving, now that disrupts timing. And it's forcing him to try to throw in the run.
We got one more segment with the guys from the Monday Morning Linebacker. Sean always says he likes to do this. Sean, let's take a look at the other three games from this weekend and get you guys' thoughts on them. Plus, coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Talking NFL playoffs with the former linebackers. This is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 10 minutes. We will tell you about something we're doing really cool every day this week, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And all of us should have seen this coming this weekend. I'll tell you why in just a minute. But Sean Barber always tells me He's like, I want to tell general NFL. I know more than just Chiefs. All right, let's test it. We do this segment called Around the NFL. We're going to talk about the three games. We're going to see how good you are with the other game, Sean Barber. How do you feel about that?
I feel good.
Nick, hit the music. First up, we got to talk about the game right after Chiefs and Colts, Cowboys and the Rams.
Hands the ball off on a delay. Gurley, a huge room up the middle. He's gone. 20, 10 to the 5. Sprints past Rougier. Touchdown, Gurley.
I'm going to completely disregard my pick of the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, or at least go to the Super Bowl in this one. Let's forget that ever happened. I'm just sitting here wondering for myself, the Chiefs, after Kareem Hunt got cut, had C.J. Anderson in camp and Charkandrick West. What did Charkandrick West do in this to win? Because C.J. Anderson, ever since he's got to the Rams, has been absolutely fantastic. I wish they could have got C.J. Anderson this year.
I think what Joe was saying in the break, we was talking about it, and it probably was a comfort with the system, being comfortable with Andy's system and knowing all the checks, know the pass coverages, know the protection breakdown. You got to feel more comfortable with a guy that knows the system over a guy who's was out of, you know, he just got cut by two or three different teams. So I think what we're seeing about C.J. Anderson is kind of a blip. I mean, it's kind of a phenomenon. That's the kind of fantasy run that wins you championships in fantasy football, but you rarely find that that genie in the bottle so late in the season in the real NFL.
I mean, and, you know, he knows how to win. He won a Super Bowl, so you would expect him to come in and play well and do things that the team needs to do in order to win. I mean, that's just something that you bring in guys that have that experience, that know how to win, and you put them in the game and you allow them to do things that they do.
Did you play with him in Denver?
Yeah, okay. I did. So, I mean, you know, he was just one of those guys that always worked. No matter what, he was working. He was trying to do whatever it took to get in the game. And when he did, he made the most of his opportunity. Same thing here.
Looked like he was working on Eaton in that Rams uniform. He looks a little bit bigger than he used to be.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm wondering if that's why they kept Charkander. I mean, that's a fair question.
Yeah, right? I mean, of course, you know, we like to look at looks, especially when it comes to running back. You want your running backs to be chiseled. You want them to look a certain way. He just doesn't have that running back look. He looked more like Mike Tober, like a fullback type. Yeah. But you put the ball in his hands, he can run. Good.
I want to ask you guys about Jason Garrett's decision to kick the extra point towards the end of the game. It was 2:11 left. Cowboys down 9. Cowboys elected to kick the extra point as opposed to going for 2 to only be down 7. I liked the decision. What did you guys think of the decision?
I think you definitely kick it, right? You say you kick it, you go down 8, right? Mm-hmm. You kick and go down 8 rather than going for 2, miss it, and then you basically, that's the end of the game. Still right there. Cool. So yep. What I've heard is you want to stay involved and stay give yourself as many chances to win the ball game or to tie it up as possible, so you never go chasing points early.
Yeah, as a coach, you have to make the smart decisions. It's not about being aggressive all the time. And, yeah, of course, you want – He pretty much had them kick the field goal so that it could still be a one score game, and he was looking for them to go down, score, get another 2 point.
Next up, we've got the Patriots and the Chargers.
Third down and 6. White to the right of Brady. 2 receivers right, including Gronk in the slot. Edelman along with Dorsett left. Julian with short motion as Brady takes the snap. Back in the pocket. Throws a lob. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped him yet? Surgical.
I'm not surprised that the Patriots won. I don't know how you can be surprised that the Patriots won. I was just surprised at the absolute beatdown that they put on the Los Angeles Chargers. I still think the Chargers are better than the New England Patriots. But boy, they certainly did not play like it on Sunday.
No, they were definitely out. They were overpowered, outmatched. The Patriots, they were the most physical team. If you really sat down and watched that game, the Chargers' offensive line, they were struggling. They couldn't keep Phillip Rivers off the ground.
How much of that has to do with Patriots had a bye week and the Chargers had to go coast to coast twice?
I mean, that has a little bit to do with it. You're traveling, and you know, time change. You get kind of tired from that. But, I mean, at the same time, you got the Patriots. They had an extra week of preparation. So they've been studying teams all year. And now you get a chance to really just sit down and settle in on what you want to do game plan-wise. And they excelled.
As I look at my around-the-league pick'em plate that we filled out last week.
Pick'em plate.
And it's an actual plate, ladies and
gentlemen. I see my man Fannin had the Chargers, had his Superchargers.
I did.
Going into New England and beating –
I did.
Oh, Tom Brady. So
that was my upset of the week.
So I guess going across the country back and forth must not have mattered too much when you was picking with your heart instead of your head. Yeah, I have Fanning, I have Danon Hughes, and Byrne as the three guys going with Philip Rivers and the Super Chargers.
I picked them too. I'll go ahead and I know you missed that on your hot plate, but I had them winning too.
I don't have you on the hot plate.
That's good.
Only thing I have written down is I am anti-Rivers.
See, I'm honest in this. I mean, he wasn't very good.
That's what I got written down on my plate.
He wasn't very good.
I am anti-Rivers.
You got to admit, you're a little bit surprised that they got the beats in that game. They got the beats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was surprised they got the backs beat out, but the Patriots in the postseason at home is just a done deal. Stamp them to keep moving on.
Dangerous
the way
team.
You beat the Patriots in the playoff, you can't let them have the number one seed. And that was, to me, the primary goal of the season is to make sure that the Patriots don't get the number one seed.
Yeah, what, they haven't won a home playoff game since, what, like 08 or 04 or something like that?
Yeah, road, it was 07. They haven't won since 07. But, I mean, they've also only been on the road three times over the last 11 years. So, like, that's that. Like, you kind of take what you want. Last one. We got Eagles and Saints.
Foles takes the snap again. He steps up. He lets it fly. And it is intercepted. It is intercepted. It is picked off. And going back with the football to the 34-yard line, the Saints have it. It is Marshawn Lattimore, and that may be the game.
That Saints defense, I feel like we talk so much about Drew Brees and the offense. Michael Thomas played really well, but that defense has been stellar the second half of the season, where the offense has kind of trailed off a little bit from where they were at the beginning part of the season. That defense has not.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, we're speaking about the Chiefs on the NFC side of the ball. I mean, when it comes to the Saints and Chiefs, they both have powerful offenses. They both can put points on the boards. They both have, you know, defenses that would, you know, play questionable at times. And both defenses played really, 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 really well this past weekend. The Saints defense, that's a really, really great defense. They have a ton of young guys out there running around and making plays on the football. And like you said, you know, they played well the last half part of the season, and it's continuing the show.
I mean, the Saints locked it down. They were down 14-0.
Yeah,
and locked it down after that. They did a good job.
Yeah,
I just can't understand from, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. I do have an Eagles fandism. Though I picked the Saints to win the game because I said it was the most balanced football team, the most balanced offense, and the most balanced football team in the NFL right now. I just can't imagine why somebody didn't whisper to Jim Schwartz, "Hey, stop the number 13. Shadow him, double him, press him, hurt him, break him. Do something to keep the hands from going, the ball to going from number 13. Make somebody else on that team beat you." Because they couldn't stop him. Every time they needed a play, every time they needed a big first down, it was thrown to Michael Thomas, and he just kept making play after play after play. And it ended up being, I mean, it was the Michael Thomas show, man. He put on a show, and then the defense, they was opportunistic. I know that when that field goal missed, I thought it was a little bit of that Foles magic coming back at the end of that game.
Me too.
When that field goal missed, and I said, oh, you gave him a chance. This is when he puts it in the overdrive.
They had the magic, and then they got dropped.
Now Sean dropped the magic.
Then they got dropped.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for players that happens to me. Like, I felt for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, and they feel bad for themselves, too. I'm pretty sure nobody can feel bad for him more than he can feel bad for himself. So I'm sure he's beating up on himself right now. You know, if not physically, but mentally. You know, he's just constantly killing himself, because if it wasn't for his drop, they could have possibly, you know, potentially won that game.
Joe May, Sean Barber, it is the Monday Morning Linebacker. Thanks for coming in today, guys.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all having us, man. Hey, happy birthday, Sean Tradamus.
Yay, happy birthday to me.
What is it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
We definitely didn't need part two of this.
Fanny, you didn't even know what that song was.
Happy birthday? I know that song is.
That's like the Black People remix.
Yeah, it is. It is. Fanny,
like, what's that tune y'all got there?
I thought it was like a special, like, 50-second birthday.
No, this was a little bit different.
The only one you sing when you're over 50 is what I thought it
was.
Oh, 50.
That's how I know you wear New Balances. That right there.
New Balances.
Skechers, man.
New Balances.
I got my Skechers on.
That's how I know
Skechers.
You wear New Balances.
And they're comfortable.
You know,
Tony Romo, Howie Long wear.
And Kim Kardashian wears Skechers. Congrats.
Thank you.
Joe Mays, Sean Barber, thanks a lot for coming in. Coming up in just a minute, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll tell you how we'll give you a cool prize at 5 o'clock. And we should have saw this coming all season long. I'll tell you how coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on the drive. Coming up, we're going to tell you about something really cool we'll be doing every day this week. But if you want a chance to win $1,000, keep your ears locked in right here. Text the word PLANET, P-L-A-N-E-T, PLANET, to 72881. That's PLANET. If you want Chiefs Talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays, 7A to 7P. It pays listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What'd he say?
What?
Text the word PLANET, P-L-A-N-E-T, PLANET, to 72881. The National Cash Contest code word 4430 is PLANET. So, every day this week at 5 o'clock, after the hits, we will play a sounder, and we will give you a chance to win a Chiefs bobblehead doll. Today, it is Travis Kelce. So all you got to do is listen to the hits. At the end of the hits, Nick will hit this. When you hear that music in the 5 o'clock hour, all you got to do is be caller number 6. And you will win a Chiefs bobblehead doll. Today's is Travis Kelce. So,
they're really cool bobbleheads. They're not like your typical, look like there's a stand, like it's really cool.
No, they're fantastic bobblehead dolls, and they're free. So, even more reason for
you
to listen.
It don't cost nothing.
And for you to try to win them. So, I saw this stat circulating the internet yesterday, and I was thinking of, I think we all were trying to overthink this season. I think we saw at the very early part of the year that this was the year of the quarterback. That for whatever reason, offenses were going to dominate the course of action this year in the NFL. And especially here in Kansas City. The number one scoring offense, the number two scoring offense, the number three scoring offense, and the number four scoring offense.
Yeah.
Guess what teams they are? The Chiefs, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Rams.
They're all in there, huh?
All those teams are still remaining. I remember, and I put myself in this category, talking about defense wins championships. And I'm not saying that you do not need a good defense. The Chiefs' defense in this one individual game is certainly part of the reason why they have advanced. But I think we should have saw this coming very early on this season. I think all year there were four teams that were clearly a tier above the other teams in the NFL. From about the midway point, and I would even say maybe a little bit early on, did we not realize that the four best teams in the NFL were the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Rams?
No, we realized
it was
that.
Pretty obvious. Yeah. We saw the Chiefs and the Patriots play each other in an epic game. I think at that moment, many of us knew that was going to be the AFC Championship game, that those were the two clear best teams in the NFL. We saw the Saints and the Rams play each other earlier this year. I think it was kind of obvious then that those were the two best teams in the NFC. And it should come as no shock to you that probably the four best coach and quarterback combinations are still alive this year in the NFL. Now, I got a lot of respect for Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, but this season, the four best coach quarterback combinations, and I'm still putting Brady in that category based on what Brady and Belichick have done in years past. It was Brady and Belichick. Given their history, the greatest coach and quarterback combination in the history of the NFL. It was Mahomes and Reed. This season, the best coach and quarterback combination. Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They all advanced this year. That this year, it was, can your defense do enough to let your coach and quarterback carry you to the promised land? That's what we saw. Chiefs defense did enough. Patriots defense did enough. Rams defense did enough. Saints defense did enough. The four best offenses are still alive. The four teams that I think we identify week 8, week 9 that were clearly the four best teams in the NFL and the four best coach and quarterback combinations all advanced. This year was very easy to predict.
Well, and we're talking, if we want to talk work defense in there a little bit, I mean, there's only one head coach with a defensive background that's still alive, and that's Bill Belichick. I mean, Josh McDaniels runs that offense for the most part with Tom Brady. I mean, Belichick's the only defensive guy in there, but I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, these are the four best teams throughout the course of the season. And these are the four teams that are finally left. And I think it's only going to help the Chiefs going forward, especially with the penalty situation that's going on right now. You know, the Chiefs had 5 penalties yesterday. I mean, count the number of times the Chiefs have had that amount of penalties throughout the course of the regular season. I mean, they were the most penalized team in the NFL. They had 5 of them on Saturday. That is only going to help the Chiefs when the penalties go down.
And I think we look at this season of, I think there's been an emphasis on coach and quarterback and having both of those things correct.
Sure.
And this year, it was clearly an emphasis on the quarterback position from the very beginning of the season with how they were calling helmet to helmet, how they were calling roughing the passer. There clearly was an emphasis on highlighting the quarterback position. Even if they lose this week, and I'm not saying they're losing, I'm not saying they're winning, I'm saying even if they lose this week, I've been saying all year, you should feel really confident about the future of the Kansas City Chiefs, because if it takes elite-level coaching to advance, if it takes elite-level quarterback play to advance in this tournament, you are set up for at least the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Andy Reid's going to be the coach, but I'm going to guess at some point if he steps down, they're going to promote one of these offensive coordinators. So you'll have Doug Peterson or Matt Nagy or whoever you think, and then you will give them Patrick Mahomes, which will start them on third base, kind of like what happened to Tomlin in Pittsburgh. That you are now positioned to not just have one AFC Championship game in Kansas City.
Yeah.
We can have 4 or 5 of these in Kansas City. Like this doesn't have to be a one-time, oh, this is it. He's 23 years old. Reid is early 60s. We might have 4 or 5 of these, and you will continue to have the opportunity, and we'll certainly talk a lot more about it. The AFC has been dominated by 3 people. Tom Brady, who's 41 years old, Peyton Manning, who's doing commercials, and Ben Roethlisberger, who's not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
What team of all the AFC teams is positioned to be next up? It ain't Baker Mayfield. It ain't Sam Darnold. It's you, the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, the beauty of this game is the overall symbolism of the old guard and the dynasty that has dominated the NFL for 15 years, potentially handing off the torch, handling the mantle to the next guy in charge. Because the next guy in charge appears to be the quarterback of your football team.
You're right. And we see the same thing in the NFC a little bit too, right? I mean, you've got Peyton going against Jared Goff. You've got a really good young quarterback. You got Breeze going against Goff. So you've got a really good young quarterback in Goff against the veteran Breeze, who's not going to be around forever either. But you're right. And one of the things that I took, C-Dot, from watching the Colts and the Chiefs is that I think the Colts are going to be a team to reckon with in the future. I think they're so far ahead of schedule from where they thought what they'd be in year two with Chris Ballard as the GM, the former Chiefs assistant GM, that they're going to be in pretty good shape. But still, Andrew Luck's 30, right? He's 30. Our guy's 23. I like the Chiefs set up better.
Yeah, you are set up right now to be the bully of the NFL. You're honestly set up.
Yeah.
Coach, quarterback, home field advantage. The Chiefs are set up for the next couple of years to be a bully. I would say we saw that the gap between the Chiefs and the Colts right now is pretty big.
Yeah.
I would say the gap between the Chiefs and Houston is pretty big right now. Man, the only team that's close to your tier right now is New England, and their quarterback is 41 years old, and their all-pro Hall of Fame tight end had one catch in his last game and looks old. Like, the Patriots' time, we'll see how many more episodes they got, but whether they win or lose, they ain't got that many more left. No. They probably got one. I think this is it for the Patriots
team
this
year,
whether they win or lose. That the tide is certainly changing in the NFL, and it is turning in the favor of the direction of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in just a minute, we'll get you ready to give away that bobblehead at 5 o'clock, and I want to have a conversation about D4, or I want to find out if we're waiting until the end of the season. Talking Chiefs and Colts right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So they go 5 wide on a 2nd down and 10. Blitz coming, ball is out. Kansas City has it. Sent the extra man that time. Got the turnover.
So coming up after the hits, every day this week we will give you a different Chiefs player bobblehead. All you got to do is keep it locked in and listening right here. We're going to play the Tomahawk Chop. When you hear that in the 5 o'clock hour, be calling number 6-913-576-7610, and you win a Travis Kelce bobblehead doll today. We'll continue that on every day this week. So we just played a D Ford highlight. And Fanning, you know where I'm going with this.
Yep.
All season, I've heard from you. I've heard from the text line. I've heard from everybody. I still need to see it from 1D Ford. You didn't see it during the regular season. You wanted to see him take advantage of a young rookie right tackle.
And he did.
And he did. D Ford with a tremendous play in this game. Are we moving to the point of we're open to a long-term contract for D Ford? Or are we still holding on firm to the franchise tag? Because there was a tweet today or yesterday from Jason Lockenfour about D Ford. And I couldn't believe it. He said that the Chiefs weren't even leaning toward the franchise tag. Now, I don't know if that's true. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know why you would just let D Ford walk away in free agency. So I have always been under the mindset and the impression that Dee Ford would be back in some capacity, whether it's a long-term contract or the franchise tag. But I'm curious where you, Brad Fanning, sit with Dee Ford, who every time you've told Dee Ford you need to see him do something, he has done it that next week.
Yeah, he did it. I mean, he came out and he dominated a rookie right tackle, which is what he needs to do in the playoffs. I mean, he had what? He had a tackle for loss, he had a sack, and he was in the backfield, it seemed like, the entire game yesterday. I saw a tweet from our guy Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout, and he put hashtag pay Dee Ford. And then I saw the same tweet from another friend of the show, Sam Munson.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And he said, tag Dee Ford. So I think that is the great dilemma that we're in right now. I'm still on team tag Dee Ford, and it's simply because of his age, nothing more than that. I mean, he is 27 right now. He'll be 28 in March. So I think depending on if you're going to have to start picking guys that you're paying, I think Chris Jones need to be paid. Tyreek Hill needs to be paid. And unfortunately, I'm still on team tag Dee Ford, not pay him long term.
I mean, if you think about this game, all three of the guys who are in contract years for various different reasons, Dee Ford is in a contract year. Tyreek Hill, I know he's under contract next season. He is getting a new contract next year. There's no doubt about it. Same thing for Chris Jones with the season that he's put together. Mm-hmm. All three of them made tremendous plays in this game. Chris Jones had that batted ball. Got constant pressure. Tyreek Hill scored a touchdown in this game, played really well. Dee Ford strip sack in this game. Like, I'm big on your stars got to play like stars in these. Like, you are not advancing in the postseason without Mahomes. You're not advancing without Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You need your big-time players to make big-time plays in big-time games. Almost every single one on this Chiefs roster did Saturday.
I mean, it sounds like to me that you're leaning towards paying him.
No, I'm still on the no. I was just curious what you was
ahead. I'm still there.
I'm still on the no. I've said this time and time again. I'm just curious. Yeah. There's no scenario in which I'm paying Dee Ford this season. I would franchise tag Dee Ford this season. I'm walking away at the end of the year. I don't think you will ever regret not paying Dee Ford.
Yeah.
I think you would regret paying Dee Ford. So I'm on the no. But I'm starting to see a lot of the sentiment start to go with he's earning his contract. He's earning his money. I just know a lot of people have said I want to see him do it. I want to see him prove it. I don't really know how you can prove it any much more than you've done this season. Like, this is a prove it year. Like, I keep hearing, make him do it again on a prove it year. Isn't that what this year is? This year was a prove you can go out there and play at an elite level. You did during the regular season. In their first playoff game, you did it. Like, don't let Dee Ford in this game, in the AFC Championship game, he get 2 sacks and a strip fumble. Yeah. Don't let in the Super Bowl he get 3 sacks. Then I would say when you want to have the conversation about paying him, it will be impossible to pay him because he's going to be asking the best pass rusher in the NFL kind of money.
The only way that I would even talk about it is if Justin Houston somehow decides to restructure or the Chiefs decide to let cut bait with Justin Houston, which very well could happen. And then I would entertain it. But that's the only way. I mean, again, it's more of an age thing with me. I mean, I think the difference between Tyreek and Chris Jones is those guys – have had much better starts to their career than Dee Ford is. So he's in year 5 now. Dee Ford's in year 5. So you're basically going to – you want how much money do you want to give to an edge rusher that's going to be 28 when the season starts next year and lock him up through what? I mean, how long do you think that contract would be? 3 years?
Yeah, probably so.
So you're going to lock him up through 31, 32, something like that? I've seen too many times, whether it's the Eric Berry deal or the Justin Houston deal, you pay these big-time defensive players this late, and it usually comes back to bite you.
I got a question for you, another question. It's going to be the Carrington Ask Fanning question segment.
Got it.
I want you to be honest with me.
Okay.
Because you remember this during the week.
Oh, my goodness. I am fearful of this deal. You got the 31st ranked defense in the NFL against a team that can run the football with Marlon Mack, like, and looks like freaking Eric Dickerson. I'm like, he's going to run for 250 on the Chiefs. And I do trust Sutton and the defense to go lose it. I think the Colts are going to be able to move the football on the Chiefs because everybody moves the football on the Chiefs, and they're going to be able to score against the Chiefs because everybody but the Raiders scores against the Chiefs.
Fanning, now I want you to be honest with me and don't lie.
I'll be honest. Yeah.
Whenever the Colts scored that touchdown on the block punt, you got worried, didn't you?
You
were thinking old Chiefs. You were thinking Chiefs when they got that special teams touchdown.
I was saying a little bit because – and the reason I was thinking that is because the Chiefs don't get punts blocked. Dustin Colquitt never gets blocked. And all of a sudden we're playing the Colts in a playoff game at Arrowhead and we get a punt blocked and they recover for a touchdown when they haven't been able to move the football. Yeah, there's a little bit of that for sure. But then Mahomes to the rescue. Long drive, scored a touchdown. And Alex Smith team probably wouldn't have done that. You know, and the other moment too that I really had, and Therese and I were talking about this after the game on Saturday night. He asked me, which moments did you think you were going to get chiefed? Was it the block punt or was it the Sammy fumble? And I said, truthfully, I thought it was the Sammy fumble. That's the one that made me the uneasiest. But, it's one of those – the block punt thing to me, That never happens to the Chiefs. I have to go back and look. I don't remember the last time Dustin Colquitt had a pump block.
I mean, to be fair, it does in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's why I was wondering if you had that same fanning fear. You know how you are.
I did a little bit, but not as much.
Boogeyman Colts.
But not as much because I saw, again, the Chiefs got four straight three and outs to start the game. So the defense have been doing their job and the offense have been moving the football. So I wasn't as freaked out as I would have been if there was maybe a different quarterback in charge of the situation.
Text line 69306 from the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line. If the block punt didn't have your stomach in spin cycle, you're not a Chiefs fan. Maybe I was the only one thinking this. The Colts had like 21 total yards up to that point. I wasn't worried about the Colts at all. At no point was I worried about the Colts. Like, maybe I'm the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't super worried throughout the game. I just wanted to get through it, if that makes any sense at all.
Like once I saw that first drive, and remember Ebron had that drop on the first drive, I was like, Chiefs defense got kind of lucky in that one, but I didn't want to say it out loud.
When you see Vinatieri clank one and then miss it,
then
and I'm like, that's them. Like, okay, we're good.
Then he missed that short kick.
Yeah.
And then, or I would say even before then, whenever the Chiefs got two back-to-back three and outs, I was like, what's happened to the Chiefs? Like, I was genuinely confused, and I was trying to figure out if maybe, like, Baltimore's defense had put on red jerseys, and they were repping the Chiefs. Like, I don't know why people were so worried in this. Like, I never had the feeling of, here we go again. Like, the Colts at no point did enough for me to think that throughout the course of the game. At no point did they themselves generate enough offense. Did they show you enough on defense? Did they show? They never gave me reason to be worried that entire game. I was just curious with you.
I'm a little bit, but not super. I thought it would be more, to be honest with you. Once I saw that happen, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But then the way the game was going, I never seriously felt like that was going to completely change the game. And again, when the offense came back out and drove right down the field and scored, then I'm like, okay, we're good because we just basically negated their special teams touchdown, and they still can't move the football. So I wasn't awfully worried about that at all, man. I think the Sammy fumble got my attention more than anything because I've just seen games turn in the second half at Arrowhead in the playoffs, you know, before. And that's when I was like, eh. But I'm with you. I'm leaning more towards you, C-Dot, because I wasn't ever seriously freaked out about it. I just kept watching the clock. I know Specs sent out a tweet when the fourth quarter started about how it's going to be an agonizing 15 minutes. And I agreed with him because I'm like, you're right. I mean, like, I'm just holding on right here. I'm just holding on. I just want to make sure I'm watching the clock and watching the clock and watching the clock. But no, the block punt didn't affect me as much as it would have if say Matt Castle or Alex Smith or Elvis Gerback was a quarterback.
I would say there was only one scary moment in the game. It was when Patrick Mahomes was limping for 30 seconds. Yeah, that was the only scary part in the game. That one, I was like, uh-oh. Like, I'm seeing your franchise quarterback, knee get twisted. He's walking around kind of gimpy. Then that next play, remember, he then rolled out a little bit, and he looked fine. I'm like, all right, that's nothing. But that was the only time I was ever worried throughout the course of the game. Coming up in just a minute, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We will give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest, and we will give you a chance to win a Travis Kelce bobblehead doll. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.